The PBS anthology series Masterpiece is about halfway through its complete Jane Austen package. This weekend, it repeats a popular British miniseries from 1995, shown here when the PBS series was still known as Masterpiece Theatre. Jennifer Ely stars as Elizabeth Bennet, and Colin Firth co-stars as Fitzwilliam Darcy, establishing his leading man credentials years before he starred opposite Renee Zellweger in Bridget Jones's Diary, playing another Mr. Darcy. Terry Gross spoke with Colin Firth in 2001 when the first Bridget Jones movie was released. Let's start with a scene from Bridget Jones's Diary. Bridget has overheard Mark Darcy making sarcastic comments about her, and it's played on her insecurities and made her angry.
I mean, you seem to go out of your way to try to make me feel like a complete idiot every time I see you. And you really needn't bother. I already feel like an idiot most of the time anyway. With or without a fireman's pole.
Look, I'm sorry if I've been...
What?
I don't think you're an idiot at all. I mean, there are elements of the ridiculous about you. Your mother's pretty interesting. And you really are an appallingly bad public speaker. And you tend to let whatever's in your head come out of your mouth without much consideration of the consequences. I realized that when I met you at the turkey curry buffet that I was unforgivably rude and wearing a reindeer jumper that my mother had given me the day before. But the thing is, what I'm trying to say very inarticulately is that, in fact, perhaps despite appearances, I like you very much.
Apart from the smoking and the drinking and the vulgar mother and the verbal diarrhea.
No, I like you very much, just as you are.
Colin Firth, welcome to Fresh Air. In a lot of your earlier interviews, you talk about how you really wanted to put Mr. Darcy in Pride and Prejudice behind you. So what was your reaction when Helen Fielding asked you to play a part that was an homage to your portrayal of Darcy in Pride and Prejudice, thus continuing continuing the whole thing?
I suppose I did it in the spirit of if you can't beat them, join them. I wasn't strenuously trying to put it behind me. I think this creation, impression has been created to some extent. And, you know, I found that the Darcy tag didn't really touch me unless I was speaking to a journalist. So it really wasn't something that was disturbing me.
No, Pride and Prejudice is set in an earlier century. Your language and attire are more formal. I'm going to ask you to compare your acting style in each film, you know, like a literary adaptation versus a contemporary comedy. But first, let's hear a scene from Pride and Prejudice. And in this scene, you first confess your love to the character of Elizabeth Bennet, played by Jennifer Ely.
In vain I have struggled. It will not do. My feelings will not be repressed. You must allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you. In declaring myself thus, I am fully aware that I will be going expressly against the wishes of my family, my friends, and I hardly need add my own better judgment. The relative situation of our families is such that any alliance between us must be regarded as a highly reprehensible connection. Indeed, as a rational man, I cannot but regard it as such myself, but it cannot be helped. Almost from the earliest moments of our acquaintance, I have come to feel for you a passionate admiration and regard, which, despite all my struggles, has overcome every rational objection, and I beg you most fervently to relieve my suffering and consent to be my wife.
In such cases as these, I believe the established mode is to express a sense of obligation. But I cannot. I have never desired your good opinion, and you have certainly bestowed it most unwillingly. I'm sorry to cause pain to anyone, but it was most unconsciously done, and I hope will be of short duration.
And this is all the reply I'm to expect. I might wonder why, with so little effort and civility, I'm rejected.
And I might wonder why, with so evident a desire to offend and insult me, you chose to tell me that you like me against your will.
against your reason and even against your character. Was this not some excuse for incivility if I was uncivil?
Let me ask you to compare your approach to contemporary romantic comedy, Bridget Jones, and dramatic literary adaptation, Pride and Prejudice. I mean, the speech is so much more formal in Pride and Prejudice.
It is. I think one just somehow instinctively adapts to the requirements. You can't say, can I have a light in a formal Victorian way. You can't say, allow me to tell you how ardently I admire and love you very easily in a kind of Bronx accent or a Cockney accent of the year 2001. So I think the Bridget Jones Pride and Prejudice case is quite a singular one, I think, because Mark Darcy is, in fact, very much a fugitive, I think, from another century. I mean, I think this is part of his problem. Mr. Darcy is very much a man of his time. He's isolated by other factors, but Mark Darcy, I think, is not typical. He's not certainly not typical of the Englishman of his age that I know. And I think that he comes from a rather archaic family, and I think that he's someone whose personality is crippling him in some way.
Just a question about your most famous scene from Pride and Prejudice. It's the famous pond scene. At the end of the story, you take off your jacket and with your shirt and pants on, you dive into a pond. And although it sounds pretty inhibited to dive in with shirt and pants, for your character, it's a sign of feeling more liberated and expressive. Mm. When you walk out of the pond with your wet clothes clinging to you, you became a heartthrob. Did you understand that?
Not really. It was so... That happened as a series of haphazard decisions. I mean, it was almost an accident, really, that led to the whole wet shirt business. And I think probably if anyone had connived at a phenomenon like that, they would have failed miserably. If I remember the original script, it was had it down that Darcy dives in completely naked. And I suppose he might well have done that and is on his own property and it's a hot day. But the BBC didn't consider that acceptable. And then there was some talk of underwear. And then we heard that nobody wore underwear in those days. And I think there was an attempt to create underwear. They're kind of, if they had worn underwear, would they have looked like this? And I went to be fitted with those, and there was no way on earth. And I can tell you now, had I worn those, there would have been no heartthrob.
What was this underwear looking like?
They were kind of knee breeches. I think they were cotton or silk. They looked like sailor's pants or something from, pirate. I can't remember very well, but they came down just below the knee. And
little pantaloony kind of things?
Yeah, yeah. Not flattering. Uh-huh. And so in the end, I thought, well, what's second most spontaneous to taking all your clothes off and diving into a pond? I suppose really not taking any of them off, really. Maybe just jump in. And which is basically how I tried to play it. It's the jacket comes off and the vest comes off. Well, he just sort of sits there and thinks for a minute and then in he goes. No way does anybody think that is going to start to, that's going to become a famously remembered image.
Did it affect your career in a positive way?
I don't know. I really don't know. It's so hard to quantify these things. I think it must have done. I think that everything you do, I suppose, takes you in one direction or another, and I can't see that it would have been negative. I suppose I have an inclination, I've always, as an actor, had an inclination towards playing unhappy people, people who might be considered society's losers, and people who are unattractive. I tend to find that work as an actor far more interesting. And playing Mr. Darcy kind of took me a little bit further away from that. And I think there was a slight misreading of what kind of actor I was as a result of that. I think there was a feeling that this meant that perhaps I really was a romantic leading man, when I'm not, actually. I'm a character actor, and I think that's been confused because of this fairly neutral appearance that I have. But it was interpreted as a leading man performance, and it wasn't. Mr. Darcy was absolutely a piece of character work.
Colin Firth speaking to Terry Gross in 2001. Coming up, film critic David Edelstein reviews a new documentary, Taxi to the Dark Side. This is Fresh Air.